Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
I'll be honest, that was the question Scott Van Pelt just asked that I was wondering about James Harden. You heard Woj with the answer there seconds ago. Adrian, the NBA's best insider, is actually going to join us at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. We've had the night to digest this big deal, and we'll talk about it with Woj at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. 2 years, $85 million. For the King, Jay, you have a little note on that contract.
Wait, before I do it, Zubin, can you go like this?
Oh, God,
I can try
stop.
It.
Disney.
I just
want to
see
but
how
I have a lot less
I just
want to
see
how
if you do it with swagger.
Jeez.
Let the record show that I need to be graded on a curve because I don't have as many zeros and commas, okay, as you guys do in the old bank account, okay? I'm going to withdraw $20 today from the ATM, and I'm going to be very careful about it.
Just got to do
it
one at a time. Just, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Okay. Anyway,
if you
want to, I want no parts of this. I want no parts of this.
So, not that we get overly into, as Marshawn Lynch would say, counting your chickens, right? But I just want people to your $85 million deal for LeBron James. Okay, ESPN came out with this the other day, which I thought was just baffling for my eyes to see. Per month, $3.57 million per month.
Per month.
Per day, $117,397 per hour. $4,891 per minute, $82 per second, $1.36. Good I'm man. Just saying, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's good money if you can get
even,
it.
I mean, it's what you gonna do, man? Greatest dude in the world in basketball.
And
name
I would
your
say,
price.
I totally agree with you. Before we hear from LeBron on what the greatest achievement of his career would be, and believe it or not, it's actually not the rundown that Jay just gave, even though that's pretty darn amazing. I just want look the Sacramento Kings. I'm just throwing them out. I'm throwing them out because they have the longest NBA playoff drought going right now. Mm-hmm. You put LeBron on any of the 30 teams in the NBA, they're immediately a playoff contender. And if they have a pulse, they're going to probably at least win 50 games. So from that standpoint,
well,
at 2 years, 85, he's underpaid.
You missed two.
Though. Go ahead.
You missed one thing, or better yet, two things. You talked about that, but it also increases the revenue
everything.
For that organization.
TV deal, tickets, when fans come back.
Everything. His value is, that's why I said, name your price. It's not, name your price. Guys like, in from a Lakers organizational standpoint and being an LA guy, obviously, guys like Magic Johnson, he can get 5% of ownership for free because the value that he brought to the table for the Buss family. Mm-hmm. Here you go, man. You can have that. Kobe Bryant can get an extension at the end when everybody thought, why would you ever give him that? Well, that's Kobe damn Bryant.
We
want to
be
mean?
In the business of Bryant.
Yes, and they want to be in the business of James. Even though he is still at the top of the game, it looks crazy that you would give a guy that at this age that type of money. But you got to factor in everything. It ain't just the championship trophies. It's the investment in the value that he brings to the table. From the rights to the merchandising to everything.
Instantly relevant.
And he turns,
instantly relevant.
He turns 36 years old this month. His career earnings thus far, $435 million. So he will be an owner of an NBA team. Now, that's in Cleveland with Dan Gilbert. If they can work that out, that could potentially happen. But LeBron James will own an NBA team.
How
Trust and believe that.
That. How about that? He's always talked about being a mogul. There's
but
nothing
he always
bigger than that.
He always thinks about his business. I mean, even the other day on the podcast, he was talking about he wanted to bring on Luka Doncic to be the first LeBron James shoe. Like, he wanted that to do that internally within Nike before Michael Jordan got it. He's always thinking about his business and his properties that way.
It's a great point. Speaking of Michael, you know, Michael had a couple sons that played basketball, and I can only imagine the pressure on these guys, and your dad is the GOAT, the greatest player to ever dribble a basketball. But his son Marcus and his son Jeffrey played. Most notably, they had a little bit of a stint. You know, UCF transferred to Illinois, but obviously, you know, the mantle that dad set, the bar that dad set, so difficult for both Marcus and Jeffrey, who have been successful in their lives, just not the way, obviously, their dad was on the court. LeBron James has a 16-year-old son you may have heard about named Bronny. He's a sophomore in high school, and this extension for LeBron, the 2 years, will get him to 2022, 2023, right around the time that Bronny would be eligible to join the NBA. LeBron was on the Uninterrupted podcast, which he has a financial stake in. Speaking of mogul, always got his hands in something, right? He is a businessman, as Jay-Z would say. You guys probably didn't think I knew that. But LeBron essentially weighing in and essentially saying about a year and a half ago that I don't care how many titles I win. I don't care if I go back to Cleveland and win one. I don't care if I win one with the Lake. Whatever. The best thing that could ever happen to me on a basketball court, no matter how many Larry O'Briens I hoist, would be this. Now, this was said 18 months ago. Fast forward, he's got a title with the Lakers. His son continues to ascend. He's 16. Jay, is this a possibility of happening?
He's LeBron James. He's arguably the greatest player to ever play the game, regardless of whether you have him one, two. I know Paul Pierce has him in the, you know, just barely in the top five, which is ludicrous, by the way. But still.
It is.
Like, it's the greatest player in the game. So my thing is, Bronny James.
I know, but I'm just hearing it again.
It's well, that's Paul Pierce. That's a whole other different conversation. I don't want to go on a tangent. Let's get back here to what we were talking about. All I'm saying is Bronny James is in a position to go to a top-tier college. If he goes to a top-tier college and if he plays decently. Consider he continues to develop. He'll make an NBA roster. There are a lot of people who are in NBA rosters who are right there on the cusp of being in the G League, being overseas. But this reality of business is all about relationships. It's all about relationships. You cannot tell me, now that could be with the Lakers or it could be with another organization, that a team would not draft Bronny James, granted he keeps developing, okay?
That's the key.
In order for him to potentially say, hey, maybe your dad would like to come here and play with you at the tail end of his career. That would do, and Key just talked about this, the incentivization. Is that even a word?
It is now.
For a team to do that, to say, come to my organization, increase the value of my organization, fill the seats with fans, and play with your son and live out your dream at the tail end. If the Lakers can't do that, some organization will take a chance on Bronny James to do that.
As long as he continues to develop, I mean, it's hard. Look, he's not a 6'7 freshman. You know what I'm saying? He's a smaller guard that's a freshman in high school that has some time to develop into his body. When you think about LiAngelo Ball 6 years ago, was an itty bitty dude.
You mean LaMelo?
LaMelo.
There's a lot of balls.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. He was a small. Now he's a 6'7 and a half, 6'8 guard. Mm-hmm. So as he continues to grow and get better at it, then yes, I'm an owner of the Sacramento Kings, for instance. Just use that team. I'm willing to sign LeBron James to help me build an infrastructure, fan base, whatever it is that we're looking for at that time. And if I draft his son and bring him on the team, that son, obviously, we're not just drafting a guy because he's walking down the street. He's got to have some ability to be able to play, right? And so you would think that LeBron James and his crew is making sure that his son is developing at that level where he'll be able to live that dream.
I hope he continues to develop. But Bronny James does not need to be 6'7 to be drafted. You can draft
Bronny. No, you don't need to be 6'7. I'm just saying as you continue, because he's so young, how hard is it to evaluate somebody in the ninth grade?
No, I think he's a sophomore.
He's a sophomore. 10th grade.
10th grade. Yep.
All I'm going to say, though, is let's say hypothetically, and this won't happen, because obviously being around great players and having access to the resources and facilities, his game will continue to blossom, continue to develop. But let's say hypothetically his game doesn't develop and it stays the same. Maybe he just grows a couple inches. Maybe he's 6'3", 6'4". You're going to take a chance on him in the second round because of the opportunity. Because of the opportunity that LeBron James might come to your organization to play a year with Bronny James' son. Or the Lakers will find some way to bring him on board. I'm just saying if you're an owner or if you're an owner or a GM, you're looking at this differently. Especially if he doesn't develop any second round, later in the second round. So many teams stash people in overseas for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, let them develop.
Yeah, you're telling me you wouldn't do that with Bronny James for the opportunity to bring LeBron James to your organization to increase awareness? You talk about an injection or an infusion of energy with Russell Westbrook going to D.C. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you look at this situation the same thing if you're an owner or a GM?
I think that's a great point.
No, you do. And to my note, the only professional athlete father-son duel it was Ken Griffey Jr. That's the only one that I can think. I've been sitting here trying to think. I know there's a lot of fathers who's played,
yep.
whether it's Michael Thompson and Clay or the Barry family, but not on the, at the same time.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I want to give you some context on age. You mentioned LeBron here at 36 and what essentially is going to happen when Bronny is 16, 20-year age difference or thereabouts, if you want to call it. Great call, Key. Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr. joining the Mariners.
Stole your notes.
Back in the day. Yeah, you're beating me at my own job. Don't be too good at this. I got to fill in the gaps here a little bit. The elder Griffey, Griffey Sr. was 40. Griffey Jr. was 20. So right there, right around 20. So 40 and 20 in that baseball comparison. But that's the most notable one, at least for the moment. We'll see. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin
presented
by. I'm
sure somebody will be tweeting you and say, you fools missed it.
Well,
it's this player.
Tweet us, KG and Z. Yeah, tweet us, KG and Z. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. Still to come, can a JV-like football team win the Super Bowl?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
That's it. The Steelers are 11-0 and have put Baltimore Ravens in the rearview mirror.
11-0 are the Steelers after beating the Ravens at home to finally wrap up Week 12.
Were you okay that this game was played?
Yeah, I mean, it's a football game. In football games, in football seasons, you're going to have adversity, and especially in 2020.
Voice of Ryan Clark, the former Steelers Super Bowl champion, this particular iteration hoping that they will be Super Bowl champions. They got a great shot. They're undefeated. Hey. For the first time since 2015. This is, that's the way it is. And please tell me who sings this. Can I give you half credit? Can I get a half point for this?
Yeah, you get a half point.
It was a remake. It was a remake. It was a remake.
No, but I don't care about the remake. Okay. I care about this.
Give context,
it's not Tupac. It's Tupac.
I've never said that.
Okay, I'm just saying. I'm just letting people know it's not Tupac. It's Tupac.
Tupac.
Yeah.
All right. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. You actually have no idea how much Key loves when I say that.
I just want you to know that you had the Jay-Z reference. It's hard to know both coasts, but I give you a lot of credit.
Right. No, he's up on some pop culture.
Yeah, he's getting it. Yeah, he's making drastic, you know, evolution here.
But in your parlance, take the under, because I'm not going to be able to do it that far. I need the Costanza, to your point. I need the Seinfeld. Costanza walk-off moment. You would have one good one. I just got to get out of here and go on to high note.
Nothing wrong with Seinfeld, Keyshawn.
Pumpkin pie nothing and Beatles. Oh, J. Wheels.
And the Cool Whip. The Cool Whip.
On the pumpkin pie. Steelers.
I tried it for the first time, Keyshawn. It was pretty good.
I didn't say anything. I just said.
Yeah, what were you saying? Tell me what
good.
You were saying.
I've had it before.
Okay.
I just, not one of my go-tos. That's all. It's a go-to for you. I get it.
It's not a go-to for me. I had it for the first time, and I'm a Martin fan. I just also happened to watch a couple of episodes of Seinfeld.
I'm not saying anything.
You're the worst. Go ahead, Zubin.
I'm not saying anything.
So the Steelers are trying to get to the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl champion, the two-time Super Bowl champion, Damian Woody, will be here in just one moment.
Big Wood.
Indeed. We'll get his thoughts on yesterday's game. Here are Mike Tomlin's thoughts on yesterday's game. As usual, Coach Tomlin not mincing words.
To be bluntly honest, man, I'm really disappointed in our performance tonight. We did enough to win, but that's all. It was really junior varsity, to be quite honest with you, and it was in all three phases. We couldn't run the ball effectively when we needed to. We dropped too many significant passes, very catchable, makeable passes. We didn't make significant plays in the special teams game. Our kickoff coverage unit wasn't good enough. We turned the damn ball over. We gave up big plays in critical moments on defense. Can't have it. They converted a long run on a possession down before the half. Unacceptable. They had a 70-yard touchdown late in the game. Unacceptable. And so we're fortunate tonight. It's good to proceed with the victory. I acknowledge that. But not a lot happened tonight to be proud of or to be excited about other than that.
You had some red zone failures and a number of drop passes. What do you attribute that to? Anything in particular?
Us sucking.
This is after a win, by the way. I just want to mention they won this game after what you just heard from Mike Tomlin, Key.
Yeah, no, they won the game, but they won the game sloppy, right? And if they played against a better quarterback opponent, they probably lose that football game. Yeah. And I think when you start to look at it, I understand what Coach T is saying. You know, Ray McLeod fumbles the football in their own deep end of their territory. You look at on fourth down, although being through an interception on fourth down, he was just trying to make a play, throws a pick, fumbles a ball. All the different drop touchdown, a potential touchdown was dropped. Hollywood Brown beats T.J. Watt on a wheel route up the sideline, but you have Robert Griffith III throw a laser. If it's Patrick Mahomes, he drops it in the breadbasket. He walks in for a touchdown. All of the different things you look at late in the game, Hollywood Brown goes 70. That doesn't make you feel good about the W. Even though you got the W, you know now I'm 11-0. I'm a couple games away from clinching the division. You get all of that, but it doesn't feel good when you look at the film.
Let's head to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line and welcome in Damian Woody. We're also presented by Progressive Insurance. It's been a real interesting 24, 48 hours. Damian, we're going to talk about what's next for the Steelers here on a quote-unquote short week with another abnormal start time in a second. But before we look ahead, let's look back. What did you make after yesterday's game was completed? We finally got it done. How both teams handle it and how the league handled it?
Well, listen, it's not the ideal situation if you're the league. You know, you're playing a Wednesday afternoon football. You know, from the Steelers' perspective, I thought they were sloppy. I thought they were definitely sloppy considering the fact that the amount of players that the Ravens had out. I get that it's a division rival and it tends to be, those type of games tend to be closer. But when you look at it from the Steelers' perspective, I mean, they had turnovers. They were 1-4, 1-for-4 in the red zone. This team just wasn't crisp yesterday. And so if you're the Steelers, even Mike Tomlin admitted it, that they just didn't play the brand of football that they're accustomed to. And at the end of the day, you got to win against a divisional opponent, but you can't feel that good coming out of that game if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Damon, if you're Pittsburgh and you're looking at this thing and you've been in these situations where you've played games and 4 days later, 5 days later, you had to play another game, how tricky of a turnaround is it to do? Because me personally, I don't think it's a big deal at all.
Well, Key, I mean, the biggest thing is just, you know, the physical aspect. But from a mental, you know, you're going to go into it, you know, there's no practice. Everything's going to be walked through. Coach is going to try to save your body. And you're right. You know, most teams, you know, they play one Thursday night game. So one time out of the year, 1 week out of the year, you're going to have a quick turnaround. So I know for the Pittsburgh Steelers, this actually might be a good thing to be able to say, you know what, we didn't play our best ball. This is an opportunity for us to turn the page real quick and let's focus on our next opponent. So they got the W against a division opponent. Now they're able to put this game behind them and move on to the next one.
D-Wood, COVID issues aside, how concerned are you about the Ravens moving forward?
Listen, I'm definitely concerned, because when you look at the Ravens, particularly offensively, they're not the team that they were last year. They're not able to dominate the ball on the ground like they were last year. And everything is just so predicated off the running game. The quarterback, Lamar Jackson, he's not having the type of year that he had last year. Passing the ball is an area that has been a weakness for the Baltimore Ravens. And when they're not able to dictate the terms, when they're not playing ahead, they're in trouble. They're in real trouble. And we've seen that multiple times this year from the Baltimore Ravens. So it's hard to change who you are at this time of year. They need to, their focus has to be, let's get these guys back and let's just try to make a last minute push for a wild card spot.
Damon Woody, ESPN NFL analyst, two-time Super Bowl champion, will be on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern. You can catch him also on First Take at 10 a.m. Eastern. Let me ask you about another quarterback out west in Jared Goff. Sean McVay was asked a question on whether or not he thought about benching Jared Goff after a subpar performance. He said no. What do you make of the way Jared's played this year, and is he the right guy to continue to move forward with?
Well, I think, listen, Jared Goff is one of those, you know, it's almost like a boom or bust type of guy. Some games you look at him, he's like, man, this guy's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And then other games you look at him, like, why in the world did the Los Angeles Rams invest that much money into that guy? I think that Sean McVay has built a system that suits his strength, but it doesn't seem like he plays up to that week in and week out. You know, whether it be, you know, turnovers or just not executing a game plan. So, I it's almost like Carson Wentz. Because of the contract, I don't know what more the Los Angeles Rams will be able to do from that perspective, but they're in the thick of things, and they're going to ride this thing out and see what happens.
I hate to ask you this question, because I feel like every single time I continue to ask you this over and over and over, why in the hell is Adam Gase still a head coach of the New York Jets?
Because they gotta go 0-16, man. That's the only thing I can think of, King. I mean, listen, you don't want to fire Adam Gase and then you get an interim guy and then all of a sudden it fires up the team somehow and they go out and win a game. You know, I think the Jets understand what lies ahead of them if they go 0-16. As bad as I feel for the veterans on the team, you know, the opportunity to get, you know, Trevor Lawrence in the draft, I'm sure that's real appealing to upper management for the New York Jets.
So, D, what are you saying, that Adam Gase is their lucky charm to losing every single game and you don't fire him in order to continue down that path? That's what you're saying pretty much. That's correct.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, man, when you fire a coach and you get an interim guy, the team, you know, team gets fired up, you know, and then, you know, squeaks out a game. Well, we know that right now it's a battle between the Jets and the Jacksonville Jaguars for that top spot. And I think it's only one game. The Jets lose the game. The Jacksonville Jaguars, based on strength of schedule, they automatically become the number one. They're the number one overall pick. So if you're the Jets, you're not trying to screw that up right now.
Big Will, let me ask you this before we let you get out of here. One of your former teams, the New England Patriots, have had an up and down year, so to speak. No Tom Brady, but there is a guy named Cam Newton who's had an up and down year at the quarterback spot. How likely is it that Cam comes back next year with the New England Patriots as their starting quarterback?
That's a tough one, Keith, but I think Cam has done a pretty good job, man, considering the circumstances. When you look at the weapons, you know, they don't really have anything on the outside. They don't have the tight ends. I know they drafted two young tight ends, but they haven't really done anything. They've had a plethora of injuries, man, and it's just, I don't know what quarterback will be able to function at a high level with all those things going on around him. And you look at Cam, Bill has talked glowingly about the energy and what Cam has brought to the table. And so I think when you look at the Patriots moving forward, they're going to have a bunch of cap space where a lot of teams are going to be struggling. They're going to be addressed some positions that's not pretty good right now. They'll get some guys back that opted out because of this whole pandemic. So I think Cam could be back. I think Cam will be back in New England next year. I really do.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way.
Cam and company will take on the Los Angeles Chargers on the road Sunday. Damian, thanks very much. We'll see you with Greeny and the gang coming up in just about a half hour.
All right, D-Wood.
All right. All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
You got it. So that's this Sunday. Last Sunday, Matty Ice was red hot. The quarterback of the Falcons is next after this SportsCenter update.
Roethlisberger stays in the shotgun on first and goal. Wide side to his right. He wants to throw it to his right. He does. Touchdown, Juju Smith-Schuster. What a nice throw by Ben to put it right on the money. And for Juju, his sixth of the year, the Steeler offense finally smells the chalk.
That, of course, would be the goal line. It was sloppy all the way around. WDBE 102.5 FM on the call there. Steelers over the Ravens 19-14. They're 11-0. The last team to start 11-0. We just talked about him, but he was on a different team back then. That was Cam, of course, with the Panthers. And you know Carolina that year made it to the Super Bowl. Big NBA trade just before around 10 p.m. Eastern last night. If you went to bed early, Russell Westbrook traded to the Wizards in exchange for John Wall. Westbrook becomes the first MVP to be traded in consecutive offseasons. He's reunited with Scott Brooks, his coach in OKC when he won the MVP. Wall hasn't played a game in more than 700 days. He's owed $132 million over the next 3 years.
Lord, that's a lot of money.
But the money that LeBron got, it might be easily justified, right? 2 years, $85 million. If we're waiting to see if Wall is healthy, the fellas have said all morning long, if you gave LeBron a blank check, that might still be underpaying LeBron James, considering everything he means to your organization, and you know what he means to the Lakers, bringing them that 17th NBA title. 2 years, $85 million deal. It's the largest two-year deal in league history. And SportsCenter is brought to you by Merrill. When questions find you, Merrill-led self-directed investing has personalized tools and insights to help you find answers. Get started at MerrillEdge.com/withinreach. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner, and Smith Incorporated, registered broker-dealer, member SIPC.
You guys scored 43. Is that a needed boost of confidence? Was the confidence always there, knowing that you have another division, huge rivalry game?
You know, that's the message as a veteran player, is that you can't lose confidence. Your confidence has to come from the preparation that you put in and week out, and the belief comes from that.
Looks, hesitates, throws. Caught! Ridley back line of the end zone. Ryan took a big shot and hung in there and delivered the throw. A looping shot to Ridley on the back line for the touchdown.
You bet. You heard that. Sunday, we pride ourselves in trying to bring you at home or in the car or on Zoom, wherever you're listening or watching, the biggest guests in sports. And certainly right now, we've got one of our biggest. Matt Ryan, Atlanta Falcons quarterback, joins us this morning on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Matt, I know it's been a tough season with the dismissal of the team's head coach and GM, but you're coming off a 37-point win, the most points Atlanta has scored in a game since your Super Bowl season of 2016. What clicked so much on Sunday?
Was turnovers on the defensive side of the ball. You know, they created five turnovers for us, gave us a bunch of short fields. And when you do that, you take care of the ball and you score some touchdowns. That takes care of itself.
Matt, since Raheem Morris has taken over, you guys were gone 4-2. How fun is it playing with him as the leader of the squad right now?
Yeah, Raheem's been great. You know, it's a tough situation to be put in, but I think, you know, Raheem's been here, you know, going on 6 years and has coached on both sides of the ball. And I think there's a great respect level he has from all of the players. And so, you know, with him kind of at point, he's done a great job being really clear about what he expects from us. And guys have bought in and played really hard for him. And it's been a lot of fun the last 6 weeks.
Matt, is that the difference? Do you feel like guys now have bought in when that wasn't the case before?
You know, I'm not sure if it's the difference. You know, if you look at our year, it's been a strange year. You know, even when Dan was here at the beginning of the year, I mean, we had three games that, you know, really could have gone differently without much changing at all, you know, and that puts us in a much different place, you know, this time of the year than where we're at. But I do know that, you know, we've been making those plays that we needed to make the last handful of weeks, and that part of it has been, you know, been fun, and part of that probably has to do with, you know, Raheem and what he's done for us as interim head coach.
Speaking of Raheem, he is obviously, as Keyshawn just mentioned, injected a new life into the squad. Matt Ryan is joining us this morning, the Falcons quarterback on the Shell Pennzoil performance line, but the best arbiter, the best litmus test, Matt, you can have as to how well you guys are playing is to take on the best team in the division, which you will on Sunday, the 9-2 New Orleans Saints. How do you keep this momentum going into a game like this?
Well, I think, you know, I think we've got to play better than we did a couple of weeks ago when we saw them down there. And specifically for us on offense, we got to do a better job on first and second down. When we played down in New Orleans 2 weeks ago, we weren't efficient enough on first and second down, put us in, you know, a lot of third and, you know, 8, 9, 10 plus, you know, which is hard to overcome. And New Orleans is playing extremely well on third downs too. So we got to be more efficient first and second down. And that's what we did. We did a nice job of last week. We stayed in front of the chains and did a good job of making first downs on first and second down.
How fun is it? And I know you guys probably, you know, because when we played in the locker room, obviously college ball is always talked about with different teams and different, you know, BC versus this school or whatever. How fun is it having Todd Gurley in the locker room knowing that he's from that Georgia area?
Yeah, it's cool, man. It's, you know, it's weird because, you know, this year has been so strange without fans and just not being out around town as much. But, you know how into it the Dawgs fans are down here to have him back. You kind of, even with the limited fans, you get a feel from that being in the stadium. And Todd's been awesome. He's a great guy. Hopefully he'll be able to get back for us this week and be able to play. But it's been a lot of fun having him here.
Matt, what makes Julio Jones the best wide receiver in football?
Yeah. Well, I think
Keyshawn.
You know,
I don't know if Keyshawn agreed with that statement, but I'm saying it.
No, I agree. I agree.
No,
with it
no,
too,
no, no.
You know
Matt,
how Keyshawn is, though, Matt.
Matt,
you know,
Matt, my nephew. My
hey,
nephew.
Hey, listen, I get it, man. You know, blood runs thick. I get that. You know, however you rank them, they're all right up there. They're all great. And so, to me, you know, I think it's his. You know, it's just his size. He's so big. He's so long. He's so physical, but he's so fast. He's explosive. You know, he's smart. He's tough. He blocks. You know, he does all the things you want from that kind of guy. And he's just an incredible playmaker. So hopefully we'll have him back too this week. You know, it's always tough when he's out. It's, you know, our offense is different, but hopefully he'll be able to get back and make plays for us.
Matt, how much longer do you want to play?
You know, I think my body feels good. And so that's kind of the thing. I think being in my division this year, I still feel pretty young. You know, I got Tom down there. He's 43 and Drew's 41. And, you know, at 35, I still feel kind of young compared to those guys. So, but as long as my body feels good and I feel like I'm playing well, I feel like I can still do it for a while.
Yeah, and the reason I asked you that, because at some point in time, Father Time's going to catch up to everybody. And one day, me knowing you personally and kind of knowing your personality, you're going to be sitting in one of these seats. And I wanted to ask you about your future and the speculation about all the different trade rumors and how tough it is still, you know, being in Atlanta and knowing that maybe this may be your last year in Atlanta and you may be moving on at some point.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's different. It's different from any spot I've been, you know, in my career. I obviously hope that, you know, I'm going to be here. I love it. It's home for us, me and my family. It's a great place to live. The organization's been incredible to me the entire time. So, you know, I haven't worried about it too much, though, you know, to be honest with you. I think one of the things you learn, you know, the longer you play is to just take it one week at a time and worry about what's in front of you and not get consumed with everything else. So it's kind of the blessing that comes with experience is that you have better perspective.
No doubt. I appreciate your candor on that. Key's got one thing for you on the way out the door.
Yeah, Matt, can I get your membership number at the country club so I can order something and have it sent to me? I never see you.
I got to run into you out there, man.
Hey.
You know Key's only at the clubhouse, though.
Trust me, you will see me because I am one of a handful. So you will definitely, Matt, you will definitely see me. I'm not.
What are you trying to say? I can't miss you?
You will not. Hey, you know as well as I know, Matt, you will not miss me.
Sounds good, man. I look forward to seeing you.
All right.
Best of luck this weekend against the Saints, Matt. Thank you so much.
Good luck, Matt.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, man.
Yeah, he's one of the members at the club. So
what a great
we never run into each other, but I'm like, and I never run into a lot of people. So when I said, they're like, you never hear. I'm like, oh, I'm there.
and you will see me because it ain't a whole lot of us running around our country club. Just saying.
You know, it just can't be easy to go through a year like that where you lose your head coach, your right. influx. People are talking about you being traded.
Oh, yeah.
Julio Jones being out for a little bit. I mean, he just epitomizes what a professional is, though. Just the way he handles everything.
The way he carries himself. Are you familiar with the 19th hole, by the way, in golf?
I am not familiar with the 19th hole.
So but I feel like if he was, he would have invented the 19th hole.
Right. To be honest with you, I've been a member at our club 11 years now or something like that, and I've never golfed.
Gotcha.
Key, but you have been at the 19th hole a lot. You just didn't know it.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So, like, probably. After you play 18, you go to the 19th and knock a few back.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I start there. I never
started the 19th.
That's the first hole.
Yeah, that's the first hole. I never. Okay. I have never driven a golf cart around the course. Everything I do is just. I've had friends. Hey, I want to play. Okay, I'll dial you up. You get it, but not me.
Sorry. Right. Fair enough. On the way, they say father knows best, but for one NFL quarterback, in the weirdest of ways. It's mother knows best. Wait till you hear this.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
A to Z is brought to you by Redbox. I mentioned L.A. there. Big breaking news out of L.A. with the NBA, which we'll get Jay Will's thoughts on. As he's rocking the manual ones and twos this morning, Redbox's new movies at the box and streaming on demand. Don't miss Unhinged, starring Russell Crowe. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch. Once again, 1 minute away from that huge NBA breaking news. Let's start in the NFL. The Broncos quarterbacks, you know the fiasco on Sunday. They've all been fined for not wearing masks. Drew Locke addressing the situation yesterday. By the way, the Broncos are playing the Chiefs. On Sunday, they've lost 10 straight to Kansas City. Locke is a Kansas City area native. And if you think Drew's dad is hard on him after games at Mizzou and his up and down tenure in Denver, dad's got nothing on mom.
Moms will be moms. That's just a fact. You know, they're going to back up their kid. They're going to stand up for their kid regardless of the situation. And my mom was a fiery human. There was never a game where I played bad and wasn't more scared of her than my dad. So, I mean, she's just always been that. Been that way, and you know, it's gotten me to this point. You know, she's taught me a lot of lessons to be able to get me into the league, and she's just always been fiery, so we'll leave it at that.
This all coming on the heels of a fiery Twitter post that his mother Laura put out, essentially saying, if anybody is shaming my son for not wearing a mask, you need to check yourself. I just want to mention this. I'd worked in Denver for a long, long time. The Broncos are in an absolute tailspin. They have something that is unique to them that no other team in the NFL has. They do not have a controlling owner at this point. There is a trust that is controlling the team. The late great owner, Pat Bowlen, one of the most influential men in NFL history, would never allow this to happen to this great franchise. But he has passed and posthumously was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He has seven children that are all vying for a piece of the team. Two could be the controlling owner. The leading candidate is his daughter, Brittany, who is only 30 years old. Elway's big. His boss, Joe Ellis, is the president of the team, but they have no clear direction at the top. The Broncos have played in 8 Super Bowls. Think about that. A lot of people don't realize that. They have played in 8 Super Bowls. Right now, they seem about as far away from the Super Bowl as you could ever imagine. Speaking of championships, well, I'll tell you what. Anthony Davis just got his first, and now this big breaking news I mentioned, agreeing to a 5-year, $190 million max deal to remain with the Lakers. This on the heel of LeBron's 2-year, $85 million deal. He's got an early termination option if he wants it. You know you're always angling for the money, which is why he became a free agent after the season ended. This is the king himself on Spectrum Sportsnet and the Road Trippin' podcast on if the purple and gold of Keys guys can go back to back.
We can. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, we absolutely can. First of all, it all starts with health. You have to have some luck, and you have to have health. If we can stay healthy, but we did get younger. And we grabbed the 27-year-old point guard. We got the 27-year-old sixth man of the year, Warren Trez. We got younger.
With Mark.
You know, we got Mark, who's a defensive player of the year, and his IQ
is off the charts, as is LeBron's. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin brought to you by Shell. Get more time to listen to our show by going to Shell and getting three things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus. Save up with the Fuel Rewards program. Snack up to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. That news on the contract broken by Woj, who will join us at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. All right, Key, resident Lakers fan, and obviously Jay. Woj there with the tweet on ESPN News if you're watching. Thoughts on repeating and thoughts on having AD back to the tune of 190.
Really? You just asked me that?
I'm asking you.
Coming back? He was never leaving. Remember, I always say, Zubin, superstars don't leave the L.A. Lakers. Players leave the L.A. Lakers for free agency, not superstars. He was never going to Chicago. He's never flirting with this team. No. I mean, it was going to happen. It just was, let me chill and I'll let it happen because it's going to happen. There's no rush to doing it. In terms of repeating, of course they have an opportunity, much like LeBron said. It's about health. They got younger. And they're in the driver's seat to repeat. I mean, they're the one team, I think, out of the West that really doesn't have any major hiccups along the way. The Clippers got a new head coach. There's some turmoil.
Clippers didn't make any moves in free agency.
No moves in free agency. And when you look at it, there was some turmoil inside the organization with the coach and the players. And so the Lakers are just smooth selling. That's all.
They have gotten exponentially better. Exponentially better. Shout out to Rich Paul, probably the most powerful agent in the game. You knew AD was going to get the money. You know, I disagree with LeBron James calling Dennis Schroeder a PG. LeBron James will be the point guard for this team. He led the league in assists, averaging 10 assists per game. He's the de facto point guard all the time. You want the ball in his hands. But Dennis Schroeder now is a guy with a sixth man of the year. He can score off the bench. He can score anywhere on the floor. You bring in another guy in Montrezl Harrell that gives you the same energy. They essentially stole him out of the same building that the Clippers live in. Mm-hmm. They stole him from the same building. And you surround him with shooters. I mean,
well, they're renting our building, by the way.
Until they
your building,
yes. Until they go to their new facility, which they're going to build out soon.
We're landlords,
right. But
Lakers old place.
They gotten younger. They gotten faster, and they are just they're. You know, LeBron says health. I agree with him on health. They are light years ahead of every other team right now in the Western Conference.
By the way, the Clippers going to the Lakers' old home of Inglewood. How about that?
Well, eventually. The city.
Right.
Yeah, the city. They are. But it's the Lakers are the team to beat out West. And I think everybody knows that. You know, what happened to Golden State obviously is not a good thing. Some people felt like that they would maybe give the Lakers a run for their money. I never felt that way. Denver's there. We don't know what Houston's going to wind up looking like at the end. You know, the Clippers, again, as Jay Will said, the Clippers didn't make nothing. They didn't do anything. They lost Montrezl Harrell to us. And so when you think about that, you're like, okay, where are they going to be able to compete with the Lakers at?
Indeed.
Portland's gotten better. Phoenix has gotten better. Dallas has gotten better. But like I said before, I don't expect James Harden to be in Houston before it's all said and done. I expect him to come east. You're going to start seeing guys, because of the opportunity, because the east is wide open, guys going to start coming east.
LeBron might get two more.
Jay Will said the Lakers are exponentially better, so who can chase him down? That's next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.